The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk. Breathe, rechalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello everybody, welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. This is your latest Manchester United transfer news, exclusive new news around Kone. We'll bring you that straight away. Also, some worrying news about Marcus Rashford. It's already causing concern and frustration in the fan base that the club are basically spinning a Rashford return because they can't get rid of a player that they clearly want to get rid of. You know, I would liken this Rashford situation to a present you got last year that you didn't really want, and you've tried to give it away and you've tried to sell it on eBay and you can't, and then you wrap it up for somebody else and say, ta-da, what a great present. And I think that's exactly what United are trying to do with Rashford. We'll talk about that. Also, Real Madrid and how that could impact Manchester United, because they're about to spend big, which means they may need to sell big. And Thomas has got a driving lesson today. That was actually on the agenda, just to tell you all that. I just wrote in the chat. I thought it would be a nice message. Good luck, Thomas, in your lesson. It's not your test. It's a lesson. That's not a freebie to go and drive across a roundabout, but, you know, you're there to learn. Also, we'll talk about this Mainoo stuff. We've got time at the end of the show. We'll definitely talk about that. A bit of criticism coming out for Mainoo that he wasn't actually good enough to play for England. Is that fair? We'll talk about that as well. But I want to get into this Kone story. I've actually made a decision. You know, YouTube's always been our bread and butter. You know, we started on a Sunday night once a week. Me, Kev, Martin, Rich, Alex, just doing a show every week. And I'm going to try and give you the exclusives on here, because sometimes I do tweet them. And actually, you tweet it and people go, you don't know anything. Twitter's a bit of a cesspit. There's some good people on Twitter, but there's some knobheads as well. Whereas I prefer YouTube. So I'm going to give the exclusives on YouTube from now on, because we have had information. And those people who watch the channel and like the channel know we've had good information this summer. So new information here. Haven't seen anybody else talking about this yet. So we'll start off about Kone. What's the latest with Kone? Well, there are developments. Man United are preparing a bid for Kone. Now, the reason they are preparing a bid for Kone is because there is a time limit on Kone. He wants to resolve his future. The people around him want to resolve his future. Now, the kicker I will give you in a minute, because it's the second player, which is becoming a problem for United. But if they want Kone, they're going to have to make a decision, because there are other clubs interested in Kone, and Roma wants to resolve it quickly, and Kone wants to resolve it quickly. And the feeling is, you either want me or you don't. I'm not going to sit around waiting for the club I want to go to whilst you go and talk to somebody else. So if you want me, you get me. If you don't want me, there's other clubs that do. So I would say that with regards to Kone, expect something to happen, if it's going to happen, in the next week or so, because if we wait longer than that, the opportunity will disappear. Now, the problem Man United have got is that the player that they are looking at is Kone and another. The other player, there is an acceptance that is likely to take a while. So United have got a bit of a dilemma here. You've got Kone, who wants to come to Manchester United. You've got Roma, who will sell at a fair price. And there's a deal that can be done. There's this other player that is going to take time. You tell me what you would do, because United have got to make a decision. They can jump on Kone and they can do it quite quickly, or they can gamble on the other player, which is going to take time. Now, let's assume for a minute, and I don't know this, let's assume for a minute that Alex Scott is the other player, right? United go, well, we're not making a decision on Kone because we want to sum up both of them, right? You therefore say to Kone, look, you're just going to have to wait because we are going to talk to the other player. You get involved in the Alex Scott situation, at which point, after 2 weeks, Kone says, I'm signing for Chelsea or whatever. He's gone. You're then in the Alex Scott situation, like we were with Matheus Fernandes. The price goes beyond what we want to pay. He stays at Bournemouth or he goes to somebody else. We haven't got Scott. We haven't got Kone. We have to go down the list. Which is exactly what happened with Tonali, Anderson, everybody else. Now, do we get lucky again? And, you know, and there's a word for this, and I've heard it online, and it's very good. United have been very lucky or fortunate, or whatever you want to call it, at bouncing back, in the sense that, you know, you fall off the horse because you don't get the player that you want, but you jump back on the horse and you still technically win the race. So we could take that risk again, miss out on Kone, miss out on whoever this is, and maybe land on somebody that's good enough. But this is the situation. And I think you're going to start to hear this situation from, you know, maybe people you find more credible, Romano, Ornstein, whatever. United do need to make a decision on Kone pretty quickly because he has got other options and he wants to get his season going pre-season. He wants to know where he's going, which I respect. I saw someone in the chat saying, well, Kone can wait. I don't know. I don't know about that because I think that I look at Amrabat, I look at Ugarte, I look at Anthony, I look at Casemiro. All four of those players, with the exception of Casemiro, who did have a bad season, sort of flopped. They did flop. Is there a correlation between Amrabat and Ugarte and Anthony being signed right at the end of the transfer window, missing a pre-season and missing the first few games of the season? You're always playing catch-up. Your first season is almost written off. So I understand a player that says, look, I want to be integrated into that team. I want to know what I'm doing. I don't want to be sat around at my, you know, at Roma waiting for you to sign me at the end of the window to save a few million quid. So I understand Kone's situation. I also understand that there are other clubs looking at him. So United need to make a decision on that one, and they need to make a decision quickly, or they need to abandon it and go all in on this player and make sure they get them. Because as I was told this morning, the other player that they want is a problem in the sense that it's nowhere near advanced as Kone is, and it could take some time. And in that time, you're going to miss out on Kone. So look, D-Hex says Kone is trash. You're entitled to your opinion, but ultimately that's not really what we're talking about. We're talking about there's two players that United want. They can only sign one. Do you go ahead with the one, which is Kone, or do you risk losing that to go for the other player that could take a few weeks? It's going to be very interesting to see. But essentially, with regards to Kone, that's very easy, bid ready. They can do that like that. You know, we could literally have another weekend where it's like bid goes in, la, la, la. I don't think they'll go la la la, or United will try and control the situation and maybe lose control of the situation on both. I personally, it's tough. I mean, look, I'm not criticizing the club on this at all. I think it's tough. You've got to do what you think is right. I think for the balance of the midfield and the ability to move on to other targets, there's always a risk with a transfer, but if you're telling me we can get Kone for 50 million quid in the next week or two, and then we can move on to left back and other situations, I think I would do it. If you're telling me we can wait and try and sign an Enmecha or a Scott, but it might fall through, and if we do it, it's going to take about a month. That doesn't leave us a lot of time to do other deals either. I think we're in a position now where, yeah, I can see the value of an Enmecha or a Scott over a Kone. I can see the value, but we're also going to run out of time on other deals. I think, unfortunately, we also have to take into account time. And I've seen a few people in the chat saying, look, I'd wait to get the better option. And I understand that, but we haven't got a lot of time left. And that's because we got surprised by the value in the market. A couple of deals fell through. I think the next midfielder needs to come in the next week or so to give us a month to sort out the left back and the Rashford situation if we want a winger or a striker. So personally, I quite like Kone. I would go and get that deal done now rather than risk wasting a month on something that... And also, a very good point, someone in the chat just said this, we don't know it is Scott or Enmecha. all we know is what I was told this morning, and you know, I believe it or not, all we know is that the other midfielder beyond Kone will take longer. It's a longer deal. It will take more time. So, but we don't know it's Enmecha. We don't know it's Scott. If it is, that changes the situation. What if it's like, I don't know, Sanderberg, you know? I think I would rather just move on Kone. Sometimes in life, you're better off going with what you know. You don't know what's over the fence. The grass ain't always greener. Sometimes you're better off going with what you know. And I think in this situation, Kone could be done in the next week or so. And then you give yourself 5 weeks. I mean, if we had Kone done by the 27th of July, we give ourselves 5 weeks to sort out everything else and the midfield is done. And all three of those midfielders are ready to go for the start of the season as well. I think that's worth whatever risk people perceive it to be. But let me know your thoughts. So new news there. If you're just tuning in a little bit late, obviously we've been well sourced on this situation. Kone bid ready to go. There is a time limit on it. Kone wants his future sorted. United would need to be moving on that pretty quickly because there is competition and he wants to get it sorted. The other option, whoever it is described as a longer term deal. And in that time, they might miss out on Kone if they gamble on that, and they may never get that player either. So I think learn the lessons of the summer. United do need to learn the lessons. However this summer finishes, and some people will praise it and glaze it and some people will criticise it, I still think Man United need to learn lessons from this summer because we've had 12 months to prepare for it and a lot of things went wrong that, you know, as mere mortals would have predicted. Walking into the window with a list of players and then going, oh my God, we didn't realise they'd be that expensive. I think that was naive. Walking into the window and not expecting bidding wars, I think that was naive as well. And I think there's a lot to learn from this window. So I would literally learn it now. Sometimes you learn on the job. I would go, do we want to make the same mistake with this mystery signing as we did with Matheus Fernandes, Tonali, Anderson? Or do we just want to go for a player that wants to come to the club? You know, follow your own mantra. He wants to come to the club. He's a good player. I would just go and get it done. I would just go and get it done, to be honest with you. Why are we not working on the other deals anyway, says Pete. I have a theory on this, and I have said it before, Pete. So Pete's asking, why can't we work on the left back or the left winger or the striker as well? I think it's budgetary. I'm going to do a video on this probably early next week. I think it's budgetary. I think we never work on more than one deal at a time. So we'll be working down a list. And I think the priority is the midfield, which is why the third midfielder is next. I also think if they buy a left back, they're eating up the midfield budget and the midfield is the priority. So we won't go for a left back until we get the third midfielder in, which is another reason why I'd move quickly on the third midfielder. John says, bring back Matic and Scooby-Doo. Depends who the other players is. If he's bad, get Kone, says Everything Carpy. But it's not just that Everything Carpy, is it? Imagine that player is in Mecha, but you won't get him until the middle of August, so he won't be ready for the start of the season. And also, you might have a bidding war, and also, you might miss out on him. Or do you just take Kone, who would be ready for the start of the season and, you know, wants to sign? That's the situation. We may or may not find out who this player is. Hopefully we will. No doubt we'd mess both up anyway, says Luke. I think if we miss both up, that's when you start, you know, I don't know where you start going, man. Some people think it's Belaiba if we miss out on these two. What I would tell you about Belaiba is if we decide to shift to Belaiba, it's still expensive. And I will always say this, if United dare to go for Belaiba, and if they do, they'll get a lot of criticism. Some people will praise them, but they will get a lot of criticism. If they dare to go for him, he's not worth more than Santos. He's not worth more than Santos. I'm not having this. I'll have this right here, right now. Santos went for £48 million, right? He's the same age as Belaiba. And arguably, he had a better season than him last year. And arguably, he's a better player. So why would you pay £70 million for Belaiba? He is not better than Santos on paper. Statistically, he's not better either. But he ain't better on the eye test either. So if we go and pay £70 million for Belaiba, why? Santos is literally as good as him. If you watch my preview for Wrexham that I put up this morning, I spoke about Santos. And although I think he's a bit underwhelming as the Ederson signing, I don't mind it. And actually, when you compare him to Belaiba and Scott and everybody else, defensively, he does put the numbers in, and offensively, he's the best on the ball. So we go and pay £70 million for Belaiba. That's embarrassing. If you pay 50 for him, that's not too bad. But you can't tell me that Belaiba is better than Santos by £23 million. No way. No way. 3 points in week one is worth as much as week 38. Get it going, says Yabby. We need Kone, and I believe he is the option left for a Casemiro replacement, says Chris. Watch Liverpool swoop in and steal Kone. Sad for us, says Paul. Other clubs are starting to move. We'll talk about that a little bit later. I will get both midfielders because having good squad depth... I would get both midfielders because having good squad depth never hurts since we'll have more games. But who knows with this board and ownership. Why isn't Sangare in the same bracket as Kone, says Extreme with Rail. Look, I'll be honest with you. Sangare never enters my thoughts. I know he enters a lot of yours, and I've done it over the years. You start scouting your own players, saying we should go for this player, we should go for this. I said it about Stiller. I really do think Man United should be going for Stiller. But he never enters my thoughts because we're not in for him. And we're not in for Sangare as far as I'm aware either. So look, I respect the fact that a lot of you, you know, Mateus Fernandez, I always big you up. A lot of you were talking about Mateus Fernandez in January, February and March. And we nearly got him. And he was a fan pick. He was one of those scouted fan players. And I think Sangare is one of those, but I've just never heard anything about it from Man United. Just go get Kone. We need to move on to other positions, says JMR. I agree with you. BRT says, do you think the secret midfielder could just be spin, ending in we tried, but at the end of the day, we still have Ugarte? No, BRT, because we are literally holding up. We're not talking to left backs. We're not talking to wingers. We are trying to get this third midfielder in. If we're getting someone from another league, getting them before the season is vital. We have a good start to the season. We don't need players finding their feet with harder games. And also, Patrick, remember, there's no early international break this season. So this is a really good point from Patrick. You know, when we bought people like Ugarte, Amrabat, even Ronaldo, you play those first three Premier League games, then there's an international break. That international break, you've got your new signing who then either comes to Carrington and has a couple of weeks of, you know, conditioning, or they go with their international team and have a couple of weeks of conditioning. There is no international break until the end of September. So bringing a player in at the end of the transfer window this year will hurt, because you'll bring them in at the end of the window, but then there'll be a game 3 days later because the Champions League starts. So waiting till the end of the transfer window this season is bad, because there is no international break to go, welcome to the club, do your pictures, pop off on international duty, get your fitness up. It's straight in, and it's international week as well, I think that one. It's Champions League week as well. So these players do need to be in early. They do need to be in early, especially, like Patrick says, if they're not from the Premier League. Pete Phillips says, if we've got 150 million budget, we're looking at two midfield options, 150, 180. You just work on an assumption of having 70 left for other areas, says Pete. McTominay.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Would you like to see McTominay back at Man United, says Kurup? No, because I think I saw in the World Cup the very same Scott McTominay that played for Manchester United. And I think at Napoli, he's probably the same player that played at Manchester United. I don't see a place for Scott McTominay. And also, I think he's approaching 30. So I wish him all the best in Napoli, but he's not a player that United should bring back. Man United should bring back people like Ronaldo. The day we start bringing back Scott McTominay, I think we've got a big problem. No offence. Wouldn't surprise me if the next midfielder is someone completely off the radar, like Santos or Tielemans, says Craig. I mean, it could be, but it's hard to say who it would be. Camavinga, the longer signing as a marquee, I think, Sir Stephen. Well, look, there is definitely something going to happen at Real Madrid, big. Whether that's a midfielder like Enzo Fernandez or more likely Michael Olise, they are going to spend big, which probably leads to the conclusion that they're going to have to sell big. Now, if they're going to sell big, their only real asset is Camavinga. Now, if Camavinga becomes available, does Man United shift their plans towards him? But again, that's a long play. You know, that's a lot of if, buts and maybes. You know, the Kone deal is ready to go and there is competition. And whilst we're the priority for the player at the moment, we might not be next week. So if Kone goes off the table and then you wait for Camavinga with Real Madrid, you're waiting for that Olise deal to happen. That could take 2 or 3 weeks. You know, Camavinga doesn't come to Manchester United until the back end of August. What do we do about a left back then? So I think we passed the point of let's wait for Camavinga. Let's wait for Scott. You know, I don't think we're in a position now to do what we did with Matheus Fernandes, where we took all June being patient and waiting and the risk of it falling through as well. I think we need to move now. We have very limited time left in this window. We do need a left back. We do need to solve the attack situation as well. I don't think we can wait 5 weeks, 4 weeks, even 3 weeks on this midfielder. But yeah, look, you know, there is a conclusion that we could move on Camavinga. Yeah, definitely. We spoke about that at the start of the week. Why we're not working on other deals anyway, says Pete. Thank you very much for that. Would you rate Florentino Luis as a good proven centre defensive midfielder? Says Ajith. Look, for me, it's like Sangari. You can throw names at me, but I just don't have that mindset now. I think we have to live in a real mindset. And the real mindset is there are identifiable targets that we're talking to. Let's get it done and move on to the left back. I think that is really important because the transfer window, the exciting thing about the transfer window is the maybe. Maybe we'll do this, maybe we'll do that. The bad thing about the transfer window is none of your decisions impact results. But when September comes, everything we've done in this transfer window or not done in this transfer window will bite us on the arse with no option to change it. And I'll say this very clearly, and I know most of you agree with me. Left back is a problem. It's a huge problem. 2 games a week, Luke Shaw. You know, left back is not a, oh, shall we do something? Or, oh, let's get a, you know, backup in. Left back is going to bite us in the arse every bloody week. Sometimes twice a week if we don't get one in. So, yeah, the midfield was very important this summer, but so is left back. Really important. So I want, you know, the minute we sign the midfielder, hopefully it's a good one. Yes, great, brilliant. Right, let's go. You know, that's what this window needs to be in the final few weeks to me. Poole, welcome to the members club. Thank you. United need a midfielder like Sukic from Inter Milan, says John. He's obsessed with Sukic. I think the secret midfielder could be Ravella from Lazio. We sent people to Italy and he has a 50 million release clause, says Kristen. Remember, Kone's also Roma. Do you think the secret midfielder could just be Spin? Done that one. Okay. Right. I want to talk to you about the Rashford situation. We can always go back to that. We've got over 10,000 people watching. Thank you very much. Do you think Ineos are keeping their plans buying a secret to stop ITK's hyping transfer talks and inviting other interest? If so, it's a smart play. Let me answer that before I talk about Rashford. So you think United are keeping information from ITK's hyping transfers and inviting other interest? Well, look, what I will say is you can only speak about what you know. Last summer, we knew about Onana, Delap. What else did we find out? There was a few things we knew last summer from our source, who I've said before is in the club. Very little from them this summer. Very little. The good information we've had, and it has been very, very good and continues to be very good, is not in United. They're not. It's more the agent world. So our information from the club a year ago is not good this summer. So based on what you're saying there, Brogy, it's very obvious that the client journalists aren't getting anything. I mean, you had Carl Anker in The Athletic saying at the start of the week, I spoke to someone at United and they're not in for Kone. On the same day, Romano and Ornstein says that we are. And, you know, I told you 2 days before that. So I don't think the club are giving client journalists information. I don't think, well, we know, and I think it's fair to say, based on what's online, people who've got insiders in the club don't seem to be getting very good information either. You know, we've seen people, I think there's people who get good information about injuries because that's easy. You know, that's having somebody who works on security or somebody works at Carrington saying, I didn't see De Ligt today. You know, that sort of stuff will always trickle out. But transfer information seems to have been tightened up within the club. I would agree with you. You can still get it, but you've got to build relationships. And, you know, that's why I think Ornstein and Romano still remain very good, because a lot of their information does come from the club, but also comes from somewhere else as well. So, yeah, long answer, but I think a lot of the traditional ways of getting information have been closed off. Whether that's for the benefit of transfers, I don't know. If we're getting on, if we're planning on getting a striker, left wing or right back, go for the one that's a good option defensively and can be done ASAP. We need to get cracking, says Irish Beckham. Thank you for your super chat, sir. Get Kone, and if the other player becomes available, get them too. Worry about it later, as we would be a manager issue as to who plays, says Dan. Don't bank on Shaw, says Yabby. No World Cup spot to play for. I just don't think Luke Shaw can play two games in a week as well. I might be wrong. I might be pleasantly surprised, but I think he was managing his body last year. I think when you're playing one game a week, you can almost play a game on the Saturday, rest on the Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, train a bit on the Wednesday, lighter on the Thursday, train again on the Friday, play on the Saturday. You can't do that when you've got two games a week. So I don't think at 31, Luke Shaw's body can even play two games a week. I might be wrong. Our outgoings are concerning me, says Emily. We still have Xerxes hanging around and Rashford, who would rather be in Barcelona. There are other players who need to leave but won't happen. Well, let's talk about the Rashford situation, because David Ornstein has basically put out something today. Marcus Rashford, 40 million exit clause, which is available to everybody apart from Liverpool and Man City, ended 2 days ago. Man United must now negotiate any future sale of Rashford. He returns to training after his international break. Approaches will be considered, but otherwise he stays at Manchester United. So, look, we're starting to get the PR around we want Rashford to stay at Manchester United, in the sense that the club wants him to stay at Manchester United. I saw something today and I thought it was really good. I'm wondering if I can find it. Here it is. It was from an X account, and I'm trying to see who it was who put it out there. God, they tweet a lot. Okay, yeah, here it was. UTD Cara it was, and they basically said this. People at Manchester United think we, the fans, are all dumb and we can't understand what they're trying to do with the Rashford situation. Fix a fake exit clause that no team will come and sign him. Bring Liverpool and Man City into the conversation when we all know they don't rate him anyway. Lie and convince the fans that any approach will be considered, even if he returns to training. Then slowly integrate him back in and fool the fan base because they will believe it. Then, if things don't go according to plan, blame it on Carrick for playing him and sack him a few months later. We've seen this script countless times, not to be unfamiliar with it. Only a blind fan will believe this rubbish. So look, there are fans out there that don't want Rashford back. Essentially, I think United are going to bring him back. I think they are. And Savage says it's a nonsense comment. Look, it's not a nonsense comment, Savage, with all due respect, because it's somebody's opinion and a lot of people agree with it. You don't have to agree with it. That's the whole point. Some people really, really want Rashford back. Some people really, really don't want him back. I think there is a very high chance that he's coming back from what I've heard. I think Manchester United are the villain in this piece, and I think they've absolutely mugged themselves off. I think from Rashford's situation, what is he supposed to do, right? Boss, he said he wanted a new challenge. He went to Villa on loan, and then he got the Barcelona move. He went to Barcelona. He really enjoyed it. He was very happy not playing for Manchester United anymore, and then Barcelona didn't sign him. He then looks around at all his options and nothing compares to that. And he has 2 years left on his contract at Manchester United. So he's obviously said, there's nothing out there that I fancy. I've still got 2 years. I'm on 325 grand a week or whatever it is. I'm coming back. He has the power to do that. What would you do? What would you do in Rashford's situation if you wanted a new challenge? You don't want to be at Man United anymore. You go to Barcelona. It's your dream place. You're loving it. Champions League football, La Liga titles. Everything's great. And then Barcelona don't sign you. What would you do? You're going to come back. I'm going to come back and I'm going to say it's your problem. You've got to pay me a massive wage, whether I'm on the bench or I'm starting. I'll come back, I'll train, but it's your problem. And also it's your problem to solve PR-wise as well, because everybody knows what I said. I wanted a new challenge. So, and everyone knows what you said. You put me in the bomb squad. So you find me a club or you solve this issue. I ain't got a problem with Rashford in that sense. United look like prats, in my opinion, because they absolutely milk. And I call it the cringe squad, the bomb squad. Ugh, I said it at the time. What bomb squad? Garnacho basically handed in a transfer request publicly. You had to sell him. Rashford had already said he wants a new challenge. Sancho, well, he went on loan. Who else was in the bloody bomb squad? Malacia didn't go anywhere. I mean, the bomb squad, more like the do-nothing squad. I mean, we didn't do anything with the bomb squad, but we played it out as, oh, PR, PR, because that's what they do. Oh, look at the money we're saving on Rashford, la, 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 la. And then a year later, he's coming back because you can't sell him. He's coming back because you can't find a loan deal. So, and you're going to pay him 300 grand a week to do it. So you look absolute mugs. You've sacked half the workforce. You're apparently doing great things, saving money. You won't overpay on players. You're now going to pay 325 grand a week to Marcus Rashford, who you gloated you'd got rid of a year ago, but you actually haven't got rid of. And he's got a 2-year deal. So you've either got to give him another one or watch him run it down and walk out the door for free. So I'm sorry. I think United have messed this up. I understand Rashford's situation. Man United looked like a right bunch of prats. And the funny thing about it is, they were putting out stories in January, February, March, April about, well, you know what? We're in control of this situation. If Barcelona think they're not going to pay for him, they are. I said this, I predicted this. We would end up in a situation where we look like mugs because the power was with Barcelona. We wouldn't loan him for another year. And the power is with Rashford. He's got 2 years left on his contract. Man United have got no power in this situation at all. So what they've got to do is, and that's where I agree with that comment, what they've got to do is they've got to try and pretend everything I've just said there isn't true and try and go, well, we always wanted him back anyway. You know, I know we put him in the bomb squad and I know we sort of made out how great we were for getting rid of him and saving all the money. But what we really wanted was him back playing for Man United. So they've got to sell that story now. Now, you can either fall for that story or see the reality that this is not what United want at all. They want him off the wage bill. They wanted him off the wage bill the minute Ineos came in and they want him out of the club. But they can't get rid of him. So they've now got to pretend Sir Marcus Rashford is back. He's a big player. He's like a new signing. And they've got to sell that PR. The problem they've got is Rashford actually any good? You know, he had a little bit of a glimpse in the World Cup, but then couldn't get back in the team. Is he actually any good? Does he actually work at Man United? I understand Carrick's point of view because he probably likes Rashford and says, well, I can get the best out of him. And, you know, if you're not going to buy me a winger or a striker, it's better to have Rashford. I understand that. But I think it's a mess. I think the whole situation is a mess. And I think it's embarrassing for the club. Somebody just said, come on, be honest. What do you want to happen? Well, I've run this poll so many times. Do you want Rashford back? Look, I know people who are part of the Rashford fan club. They'll always want him back. And I know people who don't want him anywhere near the club. But I will not be a hypocrite on this, right? I said this to you 2 months ago. I'm conflicted on this because I think the club are to blame for this. The club have fucked up big time. I understand Rashford's situation. I've been very critical of Rashford in the past, but I've also been very, you know, him and Martial were my favourite players a few years ago. But if I was in Marcus Rashford's shoes, what am I supposed to do? I can earn 300 and something thousand pounds a week at Man United, or I can take a pay cut and go on loan somewhere shit. I think I'm going to come back and get paid by you for the contract you gave me. And I probably still do want to leave, but you've got to do that for me. But Jennifer says it's time to move on. My fundamental non-hypocritical view is you should never go back. I'm so rigid on this.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
There are exceptions, but most of the time in life, you shouldn't go back. If you were in a relationship with somebody and it breaks up, for the reason it broke up, and then a year later you're in a bar and you see them and you just have a chat and we're getting on really well, let's get back together, I guarantee that couple will break up again for the reason that they broke up in the first place. You can have a honeymoon. Yeah, you know, I've seen loads of mates get back with, you know, exes and stuff. Give it 6 months, they'll break up again because the honeymoon period wears off and the reality comes back. I don't think you should go back. You know, we've been linked to Memphis Depay. I always said, I don't think we should go back. Even Ronaldo, where I broke my rule because it was like, oh my God, it's Ronaldo. That ended badly. It very rarely works when you go back, especially when there's baggage as to why you broke up in the first place. And there is definitely baggage between Rashford and Man United. It ended badly. And now we're pretending that everything's okay. We know it's not. We know United forced him out. And we know that Rashford wanted to go. And now we're going to go, oh, everything's fine. We know why they're getting back together. They're getting back together because there's no option for him and there's no option for us. So the reason we're getting back together isn't even a good one. So I just don't, I have to stick by this. I don't think you should be going back. I really don't think we should be going back. And the problem with going back is that if you're in a relationship and you do something bad, but it's the first time, you may be able to fix it. But if you're in a relationship where you broke up because of something bad and then you get back together and that something bad happens, it's a lot bigger because you go, oh, I knew it. I fucking knew it. And that there will be a lot of people in our fan base with Rashford that when he has a bad game, or he doesn't pass and he takes a shot, or he doesn't track back, or, you know, whatever. People will go, I knew it. I knew this is it. And then it's just bad for him, bad for us. And it's because of the club. So I have to say, I would rather everybody parted ways. And I've actually been very comfortable with the last 18 months. I think he's been doing really well at Villa and Barcelona. And I think we've moved on. And you could also argue that we actually did start to remove players last summer under Amorim. And what we're doing under Carrick, bringing them back. We all know we needed to, United still need to clear players out. And we're actually going to bring people back. So, I think it's embarrassing on the club side. I understand Rashford's side, but I think on the club side, it's embarrassing to be going back when, you know, they lived off the PR of getting rid of him. But that's my opinion. 73% of you wouldn't bring him back and 27% of you would. Kiel says Rashford has new motivation. Barca embarrassed him. Okay. I'd rather keep Rashford and sign a left-back because with him, Cunha and Dorgu, there won't be as much pressure on him and the left-back wing market isn't great, says Adam. Marcus needs to face reality, says Alamir. Can Atletico Madrid sign Rashford instead of Greenwood, says Sudi. And if Rashford comes back, he will have to play well every game or he will get pelters as soon as he has a bad game. I like him, but I don't want him back, says United Nick. And only guys I want on the left wing is Somerville and Dorgu, says Recon Guy. Well, look, the Somerville argument is interesting because, as we know, United do want him but can't sign him while Rashford's here. The minute Rashford left, we'd probably sign Somerville. So that's another fair point. You know, if Rashford had gone to Barcelona, we'd probably sign Somerville by now. So if you'd prefer to sign Somerville over Rashford, this whole mess is stopping that. Now Rashford exit would be blamed on Amorim, says Ishan. Yeah, but you know what? It can't ever be blamed on Amorim. I don't think even Rashford's side would blame it on Amorim unless it's all part of the PR thing. Ineos came in and wanted to lower the wage bill. Casemiro, Sancho, Rashford were three. Get them out ASAP. Sancho's gone this summer. Casemiro's gone this summer. They thought they'd got rid of Rashford last year. JSD says, let Rashford rot in the reserves. You see how quick he leaves then. And Ami says, if Real go for Elise, could Bayern want Rashford? Deal doable at 40 to 50 million. I don't think Bayern are stupid enough to spend that amount of money on Rashford. But I did say to you months ago, Bayern Munich and Rashford's not a bad idea. He would cook in that league. He would definitely do well in that league. Junkyard James says they will play Kobe on Saturday. He should refuse and start pre-season. Almeno, I'm going to talk about in a minute. Alamir says, what about selling Mount, Shaw and Delo by Stiller, Hall and a prospect? Ruthlessness with outgoings should be the club's next big thing as a strategy. I mean, I like the cut of your jib, but pray tell me who's going to spend money on Mason Mount and Luke Shaw, because I've got a broken wheelbarrow I'd like to sell for a million as well. Rashford wants out, wants his pay, but won't go to Saudi or Turkey, says Anthony. There's so many Belabor bots in the chat, says Adam. Let them do it. It's fine. If Carrick gets the best out of Rashford, surely we want that. 8 months ago, fans wanted Bruno gone. Now he's breaking records and they love him, says Craig. Will you take Rashford back to fund the left back, says Aditio. Mate, Rashford coming back is not funding anything. He's going to cost us nearly $1.5 million a month. Like, those wages are the things that kills Man United's budget. Transfer fees don't kill our budget. You can buy a player for 60 million and pay it off over 5 years. You know, a 60 million signing probably costs you about 10 million a year. Rashford's wages, that's north of £15 million a year. So his wages are a killer. That's why they wanted to get rid of him. So I don't think Rashford funds anything. I think Rashford coming back costs us a lot of money. We haven't paid his wage for 12 months because it's been at Barcelona. We're paying his wage today. Roller says, Mark, me and my fiance were together for 3 years. We broke up for 5 and have been back together very, very happily for 8 years and getting married next year, says Roller. There you go. Exception to the rule. There can be them. What are your thoughts on Martinez flying the flag about the Falklands? Would you sell him or give him a big bollocking, says George? I mean, we did speak about it yesterday. I don't want to sell Martinez. Didn't Newcastle want Mount for 60 million, says Keel? No. No. No, they didn't. Let me talk to you about Mainu. We've got nearly 12,000 people watching this morning. Thank you very much for tuning in. Normal 8 o'clock show tonight, and we've got an exciting 2 o'clock show for you today. I can't reveal what's going to happen, but we're very excited about it. So make sure you check out the 2 p.m. show live on the channel. So, look, a few things I want to talk about here. We've done a bit of news. Let's do something a little bit topical. A little bit of criticism coming out about Mainu today. With regards to England, Sam C put this post out, Thomas Tuchel speaking after England's World Cup exit. Ball possession is not in our in the English DNA like it is with Spain or Argentina. No structure in the world could have helped us. We struggled. There's a lot to improve. And a couple of stories saying that there was a game during the World Cup where Rice was struggling and the expectation... Here it is. In the week before England's second World Cup match against Ghana, Declan Rice was struggling. Mainoo played central midfield with Elliot Anderson in training and there was a feeling he would be in line to feature. But Tuchel had not liked what he'd seen and after almost every match, Mainoo was the first player to leave the stadium, always alone with headphones in. So the feeling is that, you know, Mainoo forced his way into the England squad, but when he was actually part of the squad, Tuchel didn't rate him. There's going to be a lot of people in this chat and there's going to be a lot of people, United fans, defending Mainoo, like I'm about to do, and, you know, call Tuchel out for that, of course. But let me just play devil's advocate here. Amorim didn't fancy Mainoo and Tuchel didn't fancy Mainoo. And we can put that down to Amorim and Tuchel are bad coaches, or we can put it down to that his particular skill set appeals to some and not to others. And we must be mature about that. Bruno Fernandes in a Portugal side was crap in this World Cup, but in a Man United side, he's one of the best players in the world. Mainoo in a Man United shirt for 5 months has been very, very good for us. But maybe in other teams, it wouldn't work. I'm mature enough to accept that. It doesn't make him a bad player. And it doesn't make us wrong for saying we think he's a good player. But, you know, there are people in this fan base who still don't think Mainoo's that good. There are people in this fan base that don't rate Mainoo. So I do. And most of you do, but there is still a question mark about Mainoo, and I think we need to be mature about that. The main thing is, let's get him back to Manchester, let's get him back in that midfield, and let's see the player we believe is a player to build our midfield around. I'm not particularly bothered about what Thomas Tuchel thinks, because Amorim thought the same, and maybe the way he wants to play, Mainoo's lack of mobility and defensive work would have been a problem. Fair enough. Maybe that's very similar to Amorim, who felt that Mainoo's lack of pace and defensive work was a problem. Maybe they're wrong to have that assumption, but ultimately, in a United side, from January to the end of the season, he did really well. And I'm excited to have him back as part of our midfield. So, look, I'm not particularly bothered about why Tuchel didn't pick Mainoo, because Mainoo didn't play any minutes and England messed up against Argentina. So Mainoo's got no responsibility for that at all. What I want is Mainoo back in a Man United shirt, playing for us, doing his job for Man United, because you know what? Breaking news, it's actually what he does in a Man United shirt that matters to me. I said to you, as much as it's great for Mainoo to get called up to England, I'd rather he hadn't. I'd rather they took Adam Wharton, because ultimately what I feared might happen has happened. He's lost a rest and pre-season to go and sit on the bench and do nothing for England. And I wish he'd never been picked, because Man United comes first to me. And he's not a starter for England either. So he's basically sat on his arse for nearly 2 months when he could have been on a beach for a month and then pre-season ready to go for us. And I think for a player that's 21, he's still developing as well. So I wish he hadn't been picked by England. It's been a waste of time. But obviously, he would have wanted to be picked, so you're happy for him. I wish he'd never been picked. I think it would have been better for us if he hadn't been picked. But he has. So let's get him back. Let's get him back for the season. Got Champions League football. I ain't got no concerns about Mainoo. I've got no concerns at all. I'm not getting involved in online debates about whether he's good enough or not. Look, maybe Pep Guardiola wouldn't pick him. Maybe Arteta wouldn't pick him. Maybe Klopp wouldn't pick him. But it doesn't matter. Carrick does. We like him. It's what he does in a Man United shirt that matters. Several reports Newcastle had a bid blocked. Kiel, I'll tell you what. If somebody can prove to me that Mason Mount had a bid for him this summer, I'll still call them a liar. Nobody is stupid enough to offer £60 million for a player we paid £55 million for, who's been basically injured for 3 years. No one is going to pay real money. It might have been Monopoly money, but no one's going to pay real money for him. I really can't see us getting Hall, says Josh. If you actually look at left backs, there really aren't that many around. I can see us getting Robinson. I'll be all right, Josh. I'll be all right with Anthony Robinson. I'll be all right with Anthony Robinson. I'll leave it at that. We're not going to sell those players. I think this is a great, just going back to the Mainoo thing, I think this is probably the best comment. Ami says, England misused Scholes and Carrick. We shouldn't bother about Mainoo not getting picked. Hopefully he's fresh for this season. You know what? I felt, it's a shame actually, we weren't doing United Stand at this time, because there was a period between 2006 and 2014 where I fell out of love with England. I couldn't fucking stand us in 2008, where we didn't even qualify for the Euros. 2010, we were shit. 2012, we were shit. The World Cup in 2014, we were shit. For that 8 years, I could never understand why Michael Carrick didn't start every game for England. He was the most cultured holding midfielder we'd ever had. He was basically like a Rodri before Rodri. And England just didn't figure it out at all. Just didn't figure it out at all. So do I care that Mainoo doesn't play for England? No. Because I've seen Michael Carrick get completely ignored when he offered exactly what England needed. And he was the only player that did it. Only player that could do that job. And you're right, Scholes used to get put on the left wing. So look, I couldn't give a shit about the England thing. It's about what he does in a Man United shirt that matters. Absolutely. Paul says, people going back can only work if the person coming back has changed. And you know what, Paul? I think that's the thing about just going back to the Rashford thing. Has Rashford changed and has Man United changed from the reason they departed? Man United wanted Rashford gone because of his wage, and they still do. So we haven't changed. Rashford left for a new challenge and was happy, but Barcelona don't want him. So has he changed? No. This is coming back together because there's no other choice. Man United haven't changed, and I don't think Rashford's changed. So we're not even coming back together for the right reasons. We're coming back together because there's no other option. So I think you make a good point, Paul, as well. You know, if you come back together because you love each other and, you know, you desperately want to come back together, maybe it can work, maybe it can't. But that's not happening here. The PR will say it is because that's how PR works. But there's no way United want him back. And I don't think there's any way Rashford really wants to come back compared to what he had at Barcelona. So I think it's, look, it could still work in the way that he comes back for a little bit and then we loan him off somewhere. But where are we going to loan him off to? Barcelona probably don't want to loan him anymore. I don't know. But there might be opportunities in August. There might be. Great show this morning. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Hope you have as well. Let's wait and see on all the things that we've been discussing. God, it feels like a long time ago that we were talking about the Kone stuff. I've pinned it in the live chat. I'll put it in the video description as well. I dropped a bit. It's not really a Wrexham preview. It's talking about what I'm excited about ahead of the Wrexham game tomorrow. And there's a few separate things. So check it out. And it's only a 10-minute video. It's on the homepage. It's in the live chat, and I'll put it in the video description. Take care, everyone. Stay safe. And I will speak to you. Well, I'm back on the 8 o'clock show, but we've got a very exciting show for you at 2 p.m. as well. Thanks for watching. Stay safe.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.